Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Philip Flores. I am today's practitioner of the day. Hi, Lynn. So first thing, practitioners are here because we love to pray. And there's plenty of opportunities for you to seek out prayer with our practitioners. And on the slide here, there's a couple of ways where you can reach out to us. We have our sanctuary prayer vessel. Anybody that's wearing one of these stoles, you can feel free to approach them and ask them for prayer. We also have a prayer request online and a prayer library. So there's plenty of ways where you all can reach out and ask for prayer. So for now, let's go ahead and start off with an invocation. So know with me that there's a phone ringing right now. And we'll give space for that to turn off. But know with me that there's only one. One amazing, spectacular power, grace, and beauty. And I call that Spirit. And it is always here, always available, and I welcome that presence right now as we begin this morning's service. And as we listen to Reverend Deborah's amazing talk today on the possibilities of what's available in our life, I open up my mind, open up my heart, and open up my awareness to those words. So welcome, welcome to this time. Welcome to CSL Bellingham, and so it is.
You know, as I was beginning to think about talks, for me, talks take about a week to write, because I kind of have to feel into the topic and just live the topic. And I remember I was made a comment to Kalish one day. It's like, I want to have a talk about joy so I can live a week of joy. This wasn't that talk. But... But what was going on for me this week is I was kind of having a week where I was feeling flat and not a lot to look forward to. And I don't know if you've ever had those experiences, but you know, sometimes life just continues in a pattern or a routine. And you might be really, really busy. So it's not a matter if you're busy or not busy. It's more that it's just not as exciting as you kind of was hoping life would be. And so there's just those times we need a natural kind of pickup to bring a little more sizzle or sparkle or joy into our lives. And given, you know, the drama that's going on around us, it's such a good reminder that we really are the ones in charge of our experience. And so today, I'm going to talk about some of those things that help us to really thrive because we're in charge of our choices versus whatever else the rest of the world decides to do. And a link to that is coming through is that many times has to do with what you have gone through in your past. So all of us have gone through challenges and all of us have gone through times of great joy. And all of this turns into a package that is our own personal curriculum for our life. So that's what I want to talk about is some of those challenges and how they actually help us. I'm going to start with a story about something that could be called a mistake in my life. Now, I actually love this old archaic definition of sin, which means you've made a mistake, or you've missed the mark, you haven't hit the center of the target, and it's an old archery term from the Middle Ages or something. But it doesn't mean that you're somehow fatally flawed. It means that you just need a little more practice. You're still learning, you're still growing, you're still practicing how to become a better human being. And really, I think we're doing that our entire life. why we're alive, and then somehow we graduate and do something else after that. But during this whole period that we're alive, it's a growing time, a learning time, an expanding time for us, if that's what we choose to focus on. So here's my story. Many years ago, or let's say at least a few years ago, I stayed too long at a job. And I stayed too long at a job because I told myself that I just had to stay that way. It was very, very practical for me to stay at this job that I was really actually very bored with. When I first started that job, it was a tough, stressful job. And so I put all of my focus on learning how to do that job well. And I did, and I promoted up the chain. But I got into this stasis point where I had learned what I was there to learn, but I didn't want to let go of that job. Number one, it was very high paying. And you know what they call the golden handcuffs is sometimes you stay in jobs you shouldn't because they're paying you well to do that thing. I was in ministerial school at the time, so I told myself, I have to have a job that I can just kind of do automatically because I'm really focusing on getting this training. Well, once I graduated from the training, I still kept the job. This time it was because I needed to earn that pension. This is a government job, and pensions are really good things if you're old like me and have stable pensions. But the universe has a way of continuing to create greater good for you, even if it doesn't seem very practical. So I had all of these in-the-world reasons for not moving on, but the universe had a different plan for me. And this experience for me was learning to trust Spirit. Even if I didn't see the way, I didn't see how ministry was ever going to pay me a salary that was going to be permitting a thriving life. And so Spirit decided to teach me something. So I was in a serve-at-will job, which are these are their appointed jobs in the public sector. And that means that when a new administration comes in, it's just kind of automatic that you submit to your resignation. And they decide if they want to keep you or not, or if they would like you to go somewhere else. And so, much to my surprise, because I'd been doing this work for so long, and I had gone through several administrations of various parties, I didn't think much about it. This time, they did accept my resignation and asked me to apply for another job in the government. And I thought, wait, what? I have this very carefully laid out plan, and this isn't part of the carefully laid out plan. But, you know, it put me back on my heels, and I had to really think, do I want another government job? It meant, you know, going into a new world, a new culture, having to learn a new process, new language, new procedures. And I realized I really didn't want to do that. And because I was doing a lot of looking in the web page, the files of the government, I started to do some calculations. And lo and behold, I was just barely eligible for early retirement. I think I was within a month of early retirement. And I never would have even thought to look that up, except that I was in a time of change. I was in a time of choice. I was in a time where something new was trying to come through me, in spite of all of my reasons why that couldn't happen. So I started to fill out the papers for early retirement, and lo and behold, a full-time job appeared at my center in Seattle. A full-time ministerial job at the Center for Spiritual Living. You know how often those jobs come up? It's like maybe every decade. And so here was this job. And I was able to say yes to it. I was able to say, I'm going to lay it down, all of the reasons why I don't get to have this, and say, yes, I do want this. And it is amazing how fast spirit can work when you finally stop putting obstacles in front of yourself. So within a month, I was retired and working full-time at the Seattle Center. And because I had a full-time pension, I could live and thrive on a salary that ministers get paid. Not here. You guys are really good. So I wanted to talk about, I love that, the Golden Thread song. It's what you played. Now, Ernest, this is a textbook. It's called The Science of Mind textbook. Ernest Holmes is the founder, and he founded this whole way of thinking in the 1920s. And he wrote this book because he couldn't find anywhere in the World Library of Spiritual Thought something that pulled together that golden thread, the thing that was running in all wisdom of humanity. No matter what the religion was, if it was a native or a shamanic wisdom, or if it was a established religion, that there were certain themes that came through everything as the golden thread. And that's what Ernest decided he was going to pull together into one book so that at least he would have it. Now, it's gone through a few editions, and this is not a book you sit down and read from page one to the end. It really, because it's very dense. But it's such a good book just to pick up and open up and see what it has to tell you today by picking a page. So I'm going to read a paragraph from page 290, for those of you that have one at home. It's called Perfect Action, No Mistakes. So in mental work, we must realize that there is one infinite mind which is consciously directing our destiny. So we can declare every day this statement. No mistakes have been made. None are being made, and none can be made. And the second sentence is, there is one supreme intelligence that governs, guides, and guards. It tells me what to do, when to act, how to act. And so after saying those things out loud each day, in perfect faith, act with perfect assurance. Say this third statement. Everything necessary to the full and complete expression of the most boundless experience of joy is mine now. Know this, see it, feel it, be it. My little introduction. Act as if you have that already. Act as if you are experiencing this joy even before you receive it. That opens the door up. Do this every day for a few moments. We should all do this until the time comes when it's no longer necessary. And you will know that time has come when you see it demonstrated in your own life. And so that's the idea. You do it until you see it. So let's dive into that a little more. Let's go back to this idea about mistakes. So have you ever heard somebody say, or maybe said yourself a few times, I've made so many mistakes in my life that you've regretted you haven't taken an opportunity when it was in front of you, and now you really feel like you missed your chance? So I think each of us have that kind of feeling some of the time, or have had it in our lives. But if we really looked at that and looked at the belief underneath those statements, is a belief that there's only a limited number of chances in the world. And that if you don't take that one in front of you right now, you will never get that again. It's this sense that, like, the universe is a pie and there's 8 slices of pie, and if you're person number 9, no pie for you, right? So it builds up kind of a competition with each other too. So that if your neighbor or if your friend gets something good, that's mean you now have lost your opportunity to get something good. Or if your coworker gets the promotion, you will never then be promoted. So the sense of we have to work against each other. This is a limited amount of good, and we have to fight for a piece of that good. So it's a universe of limited good. Now, science of mind teaches quite the opposite. So it's teaching that it's a universe of unlimited possibility, of unlimited potential for good things in your life and in everybody else's life. It's a shorthand to say, this is a universe that says yes. So it's a universe that says yes to what you are focusing on that you want in your life. Now, there's something called, there's a metaphor here you're going to see all month, which is about cultivating your soil, cultivating your inner soil, which essentially means cultivating your level of consciousness. What do you think about? What are your belief systems? What's driving you unconsciously and consciously to go through the experiences of your life? So I'm going to talk about three ways to really start to open up your life if it's starting to feel limited or repeating or that there's just not enough joy in it or there's not enough something in your life. So the first thing is looking at our past. So each of us have had a past that's filled with both challenges and opportunities or great things that are happening. And they, if we look at it with this perspective, actually nurture our life. They nurture the person that we're becoming. So both the challenges and the opportunities, however, the challenges actually many times pull you forward more even than the easier times of your life. So we'll talk about that. Then we want to shift looking from just a short-term, immediate something that makes us feel better to a longer-term perspective, something that's going to require some consistent practice to attract into your life as you focus on that dream or that aspiration that you want in your life. So reflecting on our past, we've all had times when life seems unbearably difficult, when you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders and you just feel like this is too much. But you do get through those times, right? Who has gone through a difficult time? All right. So we're proof to each other that we get through those difficult times. And if we look back on them, we can see, wow, I really made a good decision, or that really required a lot of strength from me, or I had to really be resilient to get through that thing. You can see and appreciate what changed in you to get through that challenge and that very difficult time. Makes us dig deep. It makes us think of a new way to do our life, something new to think about. Stretch beyond what's comfortable. Go into the new place for you. Maybe not your choice. Maybe the world is arranging itself to push you out of your comfortable place there on the sofa and moving you into something new. And yet when you look back, it's those things that we could be calling burdens that we see have been transformational in our life, that we've cultivated a life that, with this attitude, is a life of possibilities and continuous growth, even if it comes through difficult times. So as we've take some time to look back on what has made us the kind of person we are now. It creates an opening or an opportunity. What do I want my life to be about now? See, so many of us, and I do the same thing, can kind of go in automatic pilot and just repeat the same pattern or the same routine, get up in the morning, eat the same thing for breakfast, drive the same way to work, etc. But we can create an environment that is actually growing and expanding who we are in the world. The second step, rather than just looking at your past and what you've learned, is to create some clear intentions. Well, what do I want then? What do I want that's beyond just repeating this pattern or this routine? That's about aspirations and dreams, getting clear on your dreams. You know, when I was asking myself earlier in the week, do I have dreams? I had to actually open up to the possibility of dreaming again, of aspiring again for a new, enriched life. Not because I'm living anything bad right now, but that I become very comfortable. And so this is the opportunity, is to move beyond simply what's comfortable, safe, secure, into a dream, something I've always wanted to do and yet had not yet permitted myself to have. The next thing to do is find some really great people in your life. Surround yourself with supportive people. Now, this isn't necessarily your family. It can be your family, but you know, it's that extended community of people who really get the kind of person you are and understand the dream you're dreaming, and that those people can be the ones you go to when you're having a tough time and say, I need some comfort in this. I need someone to hold the dream for me because I'm starting to shake on my own ability to get there. And they're the people that celebrate with you when you've taken a step and manifested an aspect of that dream. It is so important not to do life alone, right? And that's why I know we've gathered in spiritual community, that here you can find people who support your dream, support your aspirations, celebrate with you, support you when support is needed. And so the third thing is to take our mind off of the short-term gain and turn more to a longer-term perspective. We see a lot of quick fixes, a lot of immediate reward kind of things, fast food, social media. You know, take this pill, tomorrow you'll feel better. And what we're thinking about here is there is something that really shifts over time with a focus, with a consistent practice, with a longer-term point of view on the steps you take to manifest a big dream, a big audacious dream, sometimes the way it is. Some of you know that I have gone through a 9-month healing journey myself. About 9 months ago, I had a lower back and nerve injury, and I was in a lot of pain. And at one point, I really could only walk back and forth in my hallway. And for 9 months, I felt this pain every day. And I didn't know exactly how I'd gotten it, and nobody could really explain how to heal it. It was one of those mysteries. But, you know, I got a lot of help from various kinds of healers and ultimately worked with a physical therapist who was my faith holder, you know, probably a surprise to her. She was the one that knew I was going to heal. She was the one that knew if we just keep doing these exercises, something's going to click. She could not predict to me when, but she held fast to the belief that I will heal. And I had times when I walked in there and just cried with her and said, I don't get, you know, what's happening. And so finally that did shift. And I woke up one morning in January pain-free. And my physical therapist and I had quite the celebration. So it can take time. It can take a dedication or a practice to get to that dream, that aspiration. These are conscious and consistent choices that we make in our life. Let's say you want to develop mindfulness. Well, developing mindfulness takes a practice of meditation, right? It just doesn't, you don't just do that and become mindful. Same thing with learning a new skill. You take a class, you practice a project. Creating meaningful relationships, the same way, there's an investment of yourself and your time in creating a deep friendship with another person. So these are all things that create a sense of well-being, that create a foundation for you to stand upon, to withstand the winds of change. You have your own internal strength that is guiding you and growing you and putting that ripples of goodness coming through you into the world. You then are a gift to the rest of us. So it means sometimes it's not going to be fast, it's not going to be immediate, but it leads to a longer term satisfying life. So those are my three steps. Learn from your past, nurture your dreams, go for it with a long-term perspective. So I'm going to invite you to practice with me a little bit right here. We'll do what can become for you a daily practice of gratitude if you choose it, if you want to do it. We're just going to start the wheel spinning together through an internal process, just a few moments, and then I'll take us into prayer. So let's all just kind of get ready to do some internal work. We'll take a breath in and release. And if it feels good, close your eyes. If not, just kind of go unfocused. And bring back to your mind a lesson that you learned from something in your past. It might be that challenging experience, but something you got through and you learned something about life from. Once you have that in your mind, think about what did you gain from that? What strengths did you develop in yourself as you got through that difficult period in your life? And now kind of put that to the side and come back into a present moment. What dream do you have that you haven't yet let yourself have? Do you have a goal or an intention or an aspiration of something you'd like to bring into your life? And maybe what you learned from that past challenging experience can nurture and strengthen your ability to bring that dream into your life. So with this, with the be it, see it, feel it instructions from Ernest Holmes, visualize taking some small but meaningful steps, action steps, to manifest that dream. Think about what you might do this week or even today. What small, meaningful step can I take to bring this goal into my life? Know that you are planting seeds in this moment. You're cultivating your inner soil. You're elevating your consciousness to a belief in potential and growth and opportunities. And as is true for every aspect of this internal work, take a moment to just express your gratitude for all the resources that you have received and will receive, all the support that's available to you in your life. Just take a moment to thank life itself for all of the opportunities, all of the growth, all of the learning, all of the expansion you've had in the past and you have now. And let's just take in a breath again, breathing in and releasing. Know you can repeat this gratitude practice every day to expand your knowing of good and possibility in your life, to watch your life lift up into a life of increasing good, increasing possibility, increasing choice, increasing love and support and abundance. Knowing that you are always internally guided in this journey of your life. And that there are endless opportunities or endless potential in your life that you cannot make a mistake. There is a life force within you that loves you and supports you and lifts you and says yes to your increasing good. And you don't do this alone. You do this in community, in this dear community right here, a spiritual community of like souls who sees you for who you are, who loves you for who you are, and supports you in a life of growing good. And so with this, I'm so, so grateful for each and every person in this community. And with this, I say, and so it is.